to an issue very pertinent in the lives of the children of Israel and also very pertinent in our lives today, perhaps something you hadn't thought about. If you're a father, a mother, or if you're a teen, one day will be a father or mother. And the Bible, of course, is instructive on some of these issues, and so we'll look into that tonight. Judges chapter 2, the Bible says, "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel," look at their response now, "that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land." Pay close attention now. "And the people," the Bible says, "served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnathres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash." And our text, if you will, tonight is verse 10. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." Let's pray. Father, we thank thee and praise thee for thy word. We thank thee, Father, that even though written hundreds, yea, thousands of years ago in some cases, Lord, that it can be instructive to us today. It is just as pertinent today as it ever was. Man is but the same creature who he's always been. And we pray that you'd help us to see how to apply these biblical truths in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to read. In verse 11, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies." Verse 15, "Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed." Looking back in verse 10, once again, the Bible says, "And also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." So we see this transition between generations, if you will, just as we see every generation nowadays. Amen. If I look across the room, I see people anywhere from my age in their 60s to perhaps little ones. Most of them are over there. But in a group like this, what we're looking, besides the really young, 10, 12, 14, 16, many in our midst. Amen. Different generations represented. And of course, those who have little children in the home, the 30s, the 40s, some things and so forth. So many different generations represented, and yet we are all in a place where we are for a purpose. Amen. You ask yourself and you look at these verses and you may have a tendency to say, well, those wicked young people, they just didn't listen to their parents and grandparents and they just went off on their own. Well, perhaps. But also, how about the older generation? Were they strident in giving the lessons biblically and in God's word and in God's ways to their young folks? I think you'll find in most cases, as we probably find today, because we parallel the children of Israel in many ways, amen, that it's probably a little bit of both. There's a shared responsibility, amen, toward the ways of God and learning his word and the principles of his word. So we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. We're going to explore the shared responsibility from those who are, if you will, grandparents, parents, young folks, those that are old enough to be sentient, if you will. Perhaps that's not the right word, but to be able to receive what mom and dad say and why. So important. Remember when I was growing up, it was because I said so. Well, that might be okay when they don't have discernment or understanding until they're 5, 6, 8, perhaps, depending. But at some point, they need to understand why. Amen? Because if not, because I said so isn't good enough, is it? Wasn't good enough when we were young. And it's not good enough today. They need to learn why we say we do. We need to give them context. And young folks, you need to learn from those who came before you. It's so different to be young. It's so different to be old. It's so different to be in between. And we have this sphere of influence, and we have this thought process that everybody thinks like us. Everybody, for example, in my age group perhaps has a paradigm that, well, it's understood of my life experiences by a 12-year-old. No, it isn't. Not at all. And the young people have a tendency, I remember when I was, to think, why doesn't Grandpa understand? It's so different nowadays. What you're having to tell me doesn't even pertain. Amen? And so there can be this predisposed chasm between generations, and yet it ought not to be. But as the older generation, we have an example to set and also ways to teach them out of God's Word, and we have a responsibility to do so. Look in Psalm 71. Psalm 71, particular attention to verses 17 and 18. We are to be teaching Scripture and the ways of God. Amen? Psalm 71. Let's just go back to verse 16. The Bible says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works, the psalmist says. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength, not my strength, thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. If you're in my generation, that ought to be your heart. Amen? That ought to be our hearts, that we should not perish until we can show God's strength unto this generation and to everyone that is to come. God's given us life experience. God's given us lives that are replete with successes and failures, and all need to be shared. Amen? There needs to be context. I'll give you an example, and we'll just give some examples in practical daily living too. If I were to tell people, or if I were to tell, let's say, a 12 or 14-year-old, well, you're really lucky today. You can get a hold of your grandparents anytime on the phone and talk as long as you want. And it doesn't cost you hardly anything. They'd say, okay. And they might dismiss it as, well, you know, everybody in the older generation always tells me everything costs so much, but they never give me any context, so Grandpa's probably just thinking of it in a different way. And besides, money is worth less than today and inflation, and so I'll just disregard what he has to say. But you know what? As I tell my math students, it's always about the math. It's all about the math. In the late 70s, it cost, for a cross-country phone call, for example, 50 cents per minute. Okay? 50 cents per minute. So an hour talking to grandma, for example, at Christmas when you have 5 children, everybody wants to say more than, hi, I love you, next, hi, I love you, next, hi, I love you, next. You remember that? I do. But why? Because it was $30 an hour. Now, that may not sound like a lot now, but when minimum wage was $2.50 an hour, that's 12 minimum wage hours for an hour on the phone. Dad, how much do you make? Don't tell me, but let's say it's $30 an hour. Can you imagine $360 an hour for a phone call? That's $6 a minute. That's like having a pile of dollars, and every 10 seconds, you're handing it to the phone company. I'm serious. That's the way it was. Amen. There has to be some context. Can you imagine? You're listening to little Johnny. What's that, Grandpa? I can't hear you. Oh, that's another 10 seconds. It's another dollar. Okay. Janie needs to talk to her now. Janie needs, we need to get this thing moving. And you're just, it's like clicking in a taxi cab. You ever been in the old taxi cabs and it just nip, 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 nip. And you can just see the dollars literally flying out the window. There needs to be context. If we were to tell those that came after us now, for example, talking about the military, something I'm familiar with, somewhat, being in it for 30 years, and I were to say that, do you know how many people are in the military? No. 1.4 million. But that's out of 330 million. Okay? So 0.4% of the people in the country are in the military. Did you know that in World War II, there were 131 million people in the country and over 16 million in the armed forces? That's over 1 in 10 people, never mind the requisite age group. In addition, at the time, over 50% of the eligible 18 to 45-year-old males were in the service. Over 50%. So over by a factor of 22 what we have today. Okay, so if you were to make a comment about, you know, about the military and how big a deal it was protecting our country and so forth back then, it may fall on deaf ears now, because when they hear those words now, there's no context for what it was 60, 70, 80 years ago. But that's the way we're delivering it. We need to be delivering it in a context that people can understand. By the way, I read another statistic that I know is true from my time in the service, but it's gotten even worse. 71% of those males 17 to 24 are ineligible to join the military. So if 50% of the eligible males were in the military then, and we only have 29% that are eligible out of the entire populace in that age group, 17 to 24, we don't even have enough for the same percentage if we needed to develop it. So I don't want you to get all caught up on that, but what I'm trying to say is there needs to be context. The older generation, those of us who have some years behind us, those of us who have the gray hair, we need to be able to explain to those coming up after us what we've seen in life. And I'm not just talking about the physical or the temporal either, but I wanted to give you a couple of examples so you can understand that words mean things, but they may mean one thing to the giver and one thing to the receiver, and we need to be perceptive of that. Likewise, if you're a younger person today, you need to be able to receive what the older generation, vis-a-vis the Bible, has to say. Amen? Our responsibilities are clear. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. It's a shared responsibility. A shared one. Let's turn it to biblical perspectives. Amen? Now that we've discussed the concept a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently." That means consistently, amen? If there's anything that's difficult to being a parent, it's being consistent, amen? "Diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them once a week in church." Oh, wait a minute. No. shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them on the posts of thy house and on thy gates. So as an adult, as a mom and a dad, as a grandma and a grandpa, or even a great-grandma and great-grandpa, or even as one of aged years that maybe has some experience behind you, you come alongside, maybe you're not the grandpa or the grandma by blood, but you're still somebody that the young person can talk to. And sometimes, I remember when I was young, my mom and dad weren't always the easiest to approach. Well, let's just leave it at that. But there were others around me that I did that taught me a lot of things. Amen? And so, as the older generation, we need to be having that kind of heart for the younger generation. We need to, it's hard for us to remember, it's hard for me to remember the way I was when I was 15. I remember the way I want to remember when I was 15. Amen? If you know what I mean? And I probably have a very jaded view 61 years old of what I was like when I was 15. Let's just leave it at that. And so I have to recognize where people are when I'm teaching or when I'm mentoring or what have you. And the other thing that we have a tendency to do as older folks as well that's not good for those that come after us is we don't want to talk about our failures. We don't want to say, you know what? I see the direction you're going, and I had a problem with that too, whatever that is, okay? Or I know somebody, and let me just show you in the Word of God how it destroys your life. And we don't do that because we want to be somebody's friend. Whether it's our own child, whether it's our grandchildren, whether it's acquaintances we know. And yet, as we heard preached this morning, it's all about truth. Amen? And if the truth is the fact that we failed, we need to let people know that we failed. We are all going to fail. Amen? Repeatedly. Amen? And we need to be able to pass that down. Likewise, and many in the Bible failed. Amen? If you think about David, if you think about Moses, there were failures in their lives too. Amen? And some of these failures were pretty critical failures. In 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 3, let's turn there. 1 Chronicles 28, 3. And amen, we could spend weeks talking about where people in the Bible failed, even those principles, if you will. 1 Chronicles 28. The Bible says, in verse 3, oh, look at verse 2. Then David the king stood upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build thy house and house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and has shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel choose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And we could read on, but we don't have time tonight. There are sometimes when we fail that the consequences could be lack of blessing. What we could have accomplished for God, and yet God has to say, you know what? He said to David here, you were a man of war. Your son's going to do it. Your son's going to do it. We know about the children of Israel. We've been studying it, amen. Only certain people were allowed to go into the promised land, amen. Not everybody. Let's go ahead and turn there real quick as time fleets on. And if you were reading our verses this week as we read the Bible throughout the year, then you're familiar with this chapter in Numbers 14. Numbers 14. The Bible says in verse 6, Numbers 14, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them. And I will smite them with the pestilence, and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that the Lord art among his people, this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, when the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And what goes on to happen here, as we read, was if you were 20 years and older, the Bible says, God said, your carcass died in the wilderness. 20 and older. The older generation. Those that knew better. Those that were part of the disobedience. But if you were 20 or younger, then you could go into the promised land. Amen? Let me just say something to this, young folks. How many in here are between 10 and 20 years old and unmarried? Okay? Think about this. Irrespective of whether mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, got it right, irrespective, you have it within yourself, if you have the Spirit of God, to overcome the failures of my generation, whether they be societal, spiritual, or otherwise. You have that within you. God has put that within you. Let me say that again. Young men and women, you have it within you, if you have the Spirit of God, to overcome the failures of my generation, whether they be spiritual, societal, or personal. I know people that were, quote, told all their lives they were a failure, and it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. They allowed that to happen. It's wrong. As Pastor Peter was saying this morning, we are image bearers of God. And if society, or my generation, or the one that comes after me, tells you you're worthless, they're telling you something's not in this book. Amen? You can overcome with God's help. So if you're in a situation right now, and I'm not going to point fingers, of course, but in a group the size of our church, and I know there's some listening out there and watching, there's going to be folks out there that are feeling like this. Amen? That's not God talking to you. That's the devil talking to you. Amen? With you and God, you can succeed. And if you're in my generation or the one that came after, and you're teaching your little ones that they're worthless, shame on you. I've seen it. I've seen it too much. We need to stop it. Because normally it comes from an insecure adult who needs to be higher than somebody else in order to feel like they're somebody. Amen? It's not God's motivation. Amen? It's absolutely not. Turn to Job chapter 32. Job chapter 32. As we wind down, we're going to be going to prayer before too long here. Job chapter 32. And we'll not read all of this, but I want to show you an illustration, young folks. If you haven't read it, we know the story of Job. And I'm just going to, you go ahead and stay in Job 32 for a moment. I'm going to turn over to Job 1. The Bible says in Job 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. That's some pretty good attributes, amen? And yet, God allowed things to come into Job's life where there was a time where he was really, really down on himself, amen? And some friends came, supposed friends, and they stayed with him for a while, and they listened for a week, I think the Bible says, a week. Can you imagine not speaking for a week? But at any rate, there was a time when things were not being viewed as they ought to be by Job. And we see the recompense on that in later chapters. But in Job 32, the Bible says, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God. Not because he was a young man who despised the old man. Amen. But because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu, listen to this, young folks, had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. That's proper. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show mine opinion. Behold, I waited for your words, I gave ear to your reasons, whilst ye searched out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answereth his words. And I'll not go on to read the rest of the story. He goes on for several chapters, and then God gets a hold of Job's heart. But this young man was instrumental. But understand, his method was also proper. If you're a young person, irrespective of whether you're right, it does no good to disrespect an elder, and it's wrong to just pop off. It's just not right. Number one, if your goal was to try to bring the truth, he did it in a way that they could receive. Hey, I listen, and he was humble about it. If you pop off about it, even though it's the truth, it's going to fall on deaf ears. Amen? And you'll just be discarded as a youth who doesn't know what they're talking about because of the pride of the older folks. Amen? Or the potential pride of the older folks. And so, I guess what I'd sum up this message tonight is, where are you tonight? Are you mom and dad? Are you grandma and grandpa? Are you that 14, 16, almost 18? You know what? This world even says when you're 18, you are morally, legally, and financially responsible for yourself. Mom and dad, let me ask you, that young man that's 14, is that your trajectory for him? Are you thinking about that on a daily basis? They ask us at work, what do you want to be in 5 years, 3 to 5 years? Are you thinking about that for your sons and daughters? Where am I leading them to be in 3 to 5 years? Are they mommy's little boy one day and head of household the next? Probably not. So you need to think about that, amen? We need to be thinking about that as we teach. And as we bring the Word of God, the shared responsibility. Let's turn back to Judges 2 and verse 10. good to go over these verses and ask ourselves, you know, what do I need to do to make sure I'm not that older generation not passing on the right message, and that younger generation, what am I doing to not receive what I should be receiving from the older folks? And listen. Verse 10, and also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. It matters not which generation you're in. I think they both had some responsibility here, as do we. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee and praise thee for thy word once again. Father, we thank thee for the truths that we can learn. We thank thee for the constancy of thy word. We thank thee, Father, that your ways are so much above our ways, for we are undone. We are influenced too much by the flesh. Father, help us to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Help us to commune both older and younger generations and those in between, Father, in a constant quest, if you will, to bring honor and glory to you in our lives. Help us to learn from one another. The older generation can learn so much from the young folks. The younger generation have so much to learn from the older folks. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to do that, not only coming up with ways to do that as we might think that wouldn't last, Lord, but to have that in our heart, that we'd want to learn from those around us. For it's in Jesus' name we do ask. Amen.